Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk.
Is love, and we are God's children. There is no room for fear in love. We love because God loved us first.
2 Thessalonians chapters 3 verses 6 to 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we all stand for the gospel?
Listen now for the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 5.
Glory to Christ our Saviour.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
And as I said earlier, Ellie's going to come up and tell us something about, I love these words in Thessalonians, don't you? she's going to tell us about how she's been doing her work quietly and earning her own living. And this is called a small corner Sunday because we're all in our small corner doing whatever we can, and so we're going to sing that song.
This is Ellie's request, and we let the people who are doing the reflection choose the style, and Ellie's chosen in the style of the composer Arvo Pärt.
So, if Steve had asked me to do a small corner for you 10 years ago, I'd be telling you rather a different story to the one I'll be sharing with you today. 10 years ago, I was working on a project supporting families whose adult son or daughter with learning difficulties was still living in the family home with aging parents and helping them to make plans together for the future. Now, 10 years on, I'm running a rather specialist plant nursery out in Las Wade. Bit different. All of our lives are a journey, and a whole range of things have contributed to the small corner that you'll find me in today. I'm profoundly grateful to God that in what's probably my last serious role before retiring, although I hope that's quite a few years off yet, I'm now running Kevert Garden Plants, and having a go at creating a workforce there which integrates a whole range of different types of people. I thought I'd share with you a bit about that journey before telling you more about Kevert and the present. When I went to Teze in my mid-20s, a little while ago now, I'd been living and working alongside people with learning difficulties for a few years, and I can remember reflecting on a growing conviction that people have so much to contribute and yet rarely have the opportunity to do so. And as I gained more experience in various settings, I began to realise how many people have never had the opportunity to do something that's valued with their days, to contribute their varied attributes and gifts and skills to society, as a result of which we're all the poorer. I don't know if you've ever reflected on how much what you do with your day contributes to your sense of self-esteem and gives you a role and presence in society, as well as the more obvious benefit of a wage if you're in paid work. Over the years, I've worked on various projects where people with disabilities or otherwise disadvantaged have a genuine role and real work to do, but those projects were all very dependent on external funding, which always came to an end, and eventually all the projects folded. Some years ago then, I alighted on the idea of starting a business myself, a real business, generating its own income, so not dependent on temporary external funding, which could offer opportunities to people disadvantaged in the workforce alongside others. and after quite a lot of pondering, I decided on horticulture. It's a great area to work in. There's a whole range of tasks involved, which suit people with all sorts of different skills. And I've always been interested in plants, although school wasn't prepared to lay on botany lessons for me because I was the only one who wanted them. And I've also had a bit of experience working on a small nursery down in West Sussex many years ago. So I went off to do a short horticulture course here at the Botanics, and I complemented this with a part-time job at a local nursery to get some more practical experience. And of course that nursery was Kevok. It wasn't long before it started to dawn on Frank and I that taking over an existing nursery would be much easier than setting one up from scratch. And the couple running Kevok, Stella and David Rankin, whom some of you will know, were getting towards retirement age. So Frank will tell you that he lost count of how many times he asked me when we got home at the end of the day, "Have you asked them yet?" It wasn't a very easy subject to raise. Anyhow, at the end of 2014, in my annual appraisal, having worked there for a couple of years, I finally managed. And they were overjoyed because they hadn't got a plan for the business. So after a lot of negotiating and a year of allowing me to shadow them in running the nursery and the business, we took over in September 2016, 3 years ago. But the reason we wanted to take over Kevok wasn't primarily because of the plants, wonderful though they are, or the shows, exciting though they may be, but because of the opportunities we hope to be able to create for people. We're hoping to create an integrated workforce where people who may be disadvantaged in the workplace can work alongside highly skilled employees and horticulture students as an integral part of the workforce. So there are or have been people involved who may have learning difficulties or have had mental health issues or are on the autistic spectrum or have struggled with school attendance. Finding people who might be interested hasn't been as easy as I'd expected. Establishing links with agencies who know people who might want to work at Kevok is taking a long time. The local occupational therapists have brought a number of people for an initial look round, but the occupational therapists don't seem to be allowed the time to support people to actually make the practical steps to set up and start a work experience and find their way into work in the morning. But some people have come through All in Edinburgh, which is a specialist employment agency. And more recently, we've built a link with Redhall Walled Garden, which some of you might know, which is run by SAMH, the Scottish Association for Mental Health in Collington. All start as volunteers or on work experience, and some use the experience as a stepping stone to gaining employment elsewhere. I'll call him Malcolm. He really wanted a job and has a lot of skills, especially administrative and computing skills, but he wasn't at all familiar with the social etiquette of a workplace, and he likes to run when he's feeling stressed, literally. So he came 2 days a week, and he worked on the photos of plants for our website, doing a brilliant job of sorting and cropping and resizing and uploading hundreds of photos of plants. And while he did this, he got used to the norms of interaction around breaks and lunch times, and he could run around the nursery when he was stressed, literally, lap after lap. But after a year or so, he found an admin job in an insurance company out at Edinburgh Park, and he came along to our summer party after he'd started the job and stood at the top of the Rankin's garden and yelled down to us at the bottom, "I've got a job!" He was so pleased. As turnover allows, we hope to be able to create additional paid posts in the business, but that too is complex, as many people view coming off any benefits they're entitled to as quite risky in the current climate. I created a part-time post for a long-standing volunteer, and after a year, they asked to become a volunteer again because the consequences to them and their family of losing the whole range of benefits they were receiving seemed too scary. One thing personally I'm clear about is that a wish not to grow dependent on any external funding. And who knows, maybe in a few years' time, we'll have a story to tell and some lessons to share, which other businesses may be interested in learning from. Running Kevok's the most complex thing I've ever done. I've never felt pulled in so many different directions at the same time. And I had no idea of the range of subjects I would need to become familiar with alongside making enough money running the business. Not everything about the setup at Kevok is by any means perfect. We'd love to be nearer public transport. It's about a quarter of an hour's walk from the nearest bus stop. And I would say that shows, which you've heard, are an integral part of the business, are incredibly pressurised situations, which mainly involve staying away from home, so they don't easily lend themselves to involving the whole team. But we are learning to make the best out of what we've got whilst not losing sight of our vision, and at the same time trying to learn not to allow work to become all-consuming. If ever we get around to setting up the Friends of Kevok, we'll let you know. And can I say finally, if you have the seed of an idea God has put in your heart, I'd encourage you not to lose sight of it. When I think back to my reflections at Teze all those decades ago, I can see that it may take a lifetime for that seed to bear fruit, but when it does, it's so worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you. glory.